is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yes, Father.
It's a castle. Not a bloody sheep. Presumably you still know where it is. You didn't lose River Run. You let the Blackfish take it from you.
He surprised us. He knows the castle better than anyone.
You did lose the Blackfish after the Red Wedding. You had him right here in this hall, and you let him leave. And when I told you to hunt him down and kill him, you couldn't find him. That's what it means to lose something. Now he's come back and taken River Run.
See, we think Bob McNair is Walter Frey, but that's more Bill Belichick. Walter Frey's more Bill Belichick than he is Bob McNair. But we figured out that the Texans aren't the Greyjoys.
They're the Freys.
They're the Freys. They want to be the Patriots, much like the Freys want to be the Lannisters, but you're never going to be the Lannisters. And you're never going to be the Patriots, Texans. You're the Freys.
No. The Texans will be the Patriots.
There's something there.
Within 2 years.
There's something there to the Freys. You can make the Greyjoys the Browns. Just reek and just nothing that makes sense over there. Like, you guys aren't serious players.
Lamont, he is not Varus. Okay, can't even read that. That's terrible.
Why? You can't say John McClain is Varus?
Stop.
That's what he said. We didn't say it. He wrote it.
You can't say that.
Seattle.
I'm not Varus.
I think Seattle Seahawks are the Unsullied, and Russell Wilson is the mother of dragons.
No.
No.
No, he's not.
Crystal clear, pure, and he's got a group of Unsullied behind him, like her. He's the pure one, and he's trying to lead a group of Unsullied.
But the Unsullied were just taken as slaves. They're not bad guys. They just don't have anything under the waist.
Seattle's bad guys. I just said they've got a lot of edge, like the Unsullied.
Are you saying all the Seattle Seahawks are eunuchs?
Well,
they're
no,
great
I'm
warriors.
Not saying that.
They're all great warriors.
I'm not saying that.
I think the Unsullied are honorable. I don't think the Seahawks are
you
honorable.
You guys, where are you on this Michael Bennett thing, not getting suspended?
I was pretty shocked. You know, you take a shot like that, and I know they got a big game coming up, but you take a shot like that, and I'm like, I really think if it wasn't the Rams they had to play, that he might have been suspended. I think the league took a look and said, this could decide.
That shouldn't be a reason.
I agree with you.
And I'll tell you why he's not suspended, because of his liberal stance, because of his political. I think that they're and ESPN is afraid to rip him. I'll tell you who's not is Clay Travis. That dude is all in on Michael Bennett. First of all, with the Las Vegas cop thing, which I don't know that there's evidence, but it's thought that Michael Bennett really embellished quite a bit on that whole deal. And, you know, was starting to stir a pot that shouldn't have been stirred about the Las Vegas police.
Well, let's take a look at what he did. Has there ever been a penalty for that?
And
for diving
into a
bum rush. Well, okay, so you have to determine, did he try to hurt him?
Well, it was after. Well, intense. He was trying to swat the ball.
Right.
But that's not what he should have been suspended for. It was afterwards. He when the center turned, he went after him from behind, took him out from behind,
and then got on
top of him.
So the question is there intent to injure? With Rob Gronkowski, you can easily say, okay, there's clearly intent to injure, and there was. I thought he should have been suspended. I think there's enough there that you got to say we can't let that, because this is not the first time Seattle's done this. Now Seattle has done this before, where they go extra at the end of games where they've lost. And Quentin Jefferson, and you got to say, Seattle, we're not having that. So you can suspend Bennett, but then the argument would be, why don't you suspend Jefferson? Can you suspend somebody who had stuff thrown at him when he's walking off the field? Like, that's a bad
look.
That's
different. I mean, and there was proof that he was getting stuff thrown at him. I can certainly see the reaction, though.
But he threw a punch on the field.
But, well, I can certainly see the reaction I'm talking about the stuff being thrown at him and going into the crowd.
No, right.
Right.
But even though they're not connected, people could say, wait, you're suspending a guy who did that? No, we're not suspending him for that. We're suspending him because he threw a punch on the field at the end of that. But it looks like, oh, you're suspending the guy because he was going to go into the stands and he was going to threaten the fans, and the fans shouldn't
have
thrown.
Well, you can't have that either, but the fans can't throw either.
Right,
those fans have to be disciplined as well. But let's stick with Bennett. Do you think that he should have been suspended for what he did, Dell?
It's dirty, and it wasn't a football play.
That's I think like, it was much like Gronk. If you want to know the truth,
if it's not a football, if it's not a football play,
and the whole thing wasn't a football play. If you want to know the truth,
I would have had no problem with him suspending.
Because he was going after swatting at the football, baloney.
You know,
it's a kneel down situation.
You got to tell that. You got to let Seattle know we're not putting up with this.
Yeah,
because it was extra.
But I think because Michael Bennett is an activist, he would have claimed victim in this had he been suspended. You know the Bennetts.
Yeah,
they are so active.
Well, that's fine, but when does that stop the league from suspending
you
guys
in the
past?
You don't think that the league is sensitive to this whole thing now?
I think they are, but how do you? But this is clearly a football situation.
Doesn't matter. I think because it's Michael Bennett, if that was somebody else, I think he would have been suspended for attacking the dude from behind, getting on top of him, starting all of that crap that started with the punch. I think if Michael Bennett wasn't Michael Bennett, he would have been suspended.
You know what I say about this? Sometimes Whitey got to take an L.
You think he should take an L?
Sometimes Whitey got to take the L.
You think Whitey should take the L here?
Gronk took that L the week before. Michael Bennett, Whitey got
to
take an L
sometimes. Whitey takes the L on back-to-back occasions.
I mean, I love Brandon Leonard. He's a Kane. But sometimes Whitey
takes the L.
You sound
like the Aryan Vanguard in a prison or something like, hey, brother, we don't have to take an L on this. The Whiteys don't have to do. Sounds like some kind of prison gang or something.
Well.
Gronk was an a-hole and got treated like an a-hole. Frankly, Bennett pulled an a-hole. That's one that football players, that Jacksonville thought was an a-hole move. That was a gigantic a-hole move. And that's a fraternity of, hey, let's not hurt each other. This is a violent enough sport.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Going to hurt each other anyway. Don't pull that extra stuff on this situation. That should be.
Well,
if how much did he get
last
fined?
Year too.
How much he get? No, it happens with them.
Yes.
How much did they get fined? Did he get fined?
I don't know. What was the fine?
50 G's.
Oh, that's nothing. That's not a deterrent. That and it's not a punishment in this league. 50,000. While it's a mountain to us, it's a molehill to them. It really is.
Well, it depends, because remember they only get checks during the year, and then their checks.
No,
are gone.
I get it, but. You know what? When you're talking millions and, you know, $50,000, and it's not a deterrent. Michael Bennett got away with it. Michael Bennett.
In a way.
Yeah.
Hey, Shea Serrano coming up in 6-7 minutes right here on the bench. 713-780-3776. He is the author of Basketball and Other Things. And there's a great new piece coming out today on Culture Map at culturemap.com, a Q&A. An interview with Shea Serrano, a Houston boy made good who, Houston via San Antonio. Huge Spurs fan, but he is now a New York Times bestselling author of two books.
Yeah.
Two books. And people lined up outside blocks in New York to go, and famous people tweeted him all the time. I mean.
Well, he's an excellent, excellent writer. So we'll talk to him next right here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, we're going to be at Michael Klein's Fine Jewelers next Friday. Want you there for the Christmas party from 7 to 11. And the thing is this, is that you get to Klein's now and you order what you... And you never know. It might take a little bit of time to make exactly what you want. Has she told you that she wants some ring or pendant or earrings? And well, they're, you know, whatever make, model, whatever brand that she wants. Well, Mark can do about anything. I'm just telling you, it doesn't have to necessarily be that brand. It can be almost, and he can do it identically. So if you want some, and oh, by the way, at a fraction of the cost of what those name brands are charging, it's just ridiculous. So if you're looking for anything in jewelry, and if she's just looking for a certain kind of thing, well, you've got it at Klein's Jewelers. Mark will make it for you. Now, it may take some time, so you want to go now. And by the way, he's open till 9 tonight. Open late Thursday until 9 p.m. He knows you're busy. You can't get there during work hours. Well, he's going to stay open until 9 o'clock tonight so that you can get there and you can get what she needs this holiday season. He's been doing it for 1560 and now 97.5 listeners. And back in the back at the old station as well. He was doing it there. All you got to do is go to Klein's Fine Jewelers, 5868 Westheimer. Or you can text him or show him a pic, tweet him a text him a picture, 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. KleinsJewelry.com. It's Michael Klein's Fine Jewelers.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Really neat segment here. Shea Serrano is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. You'll see a full feature in CultureMap.com, CultureMap.com. And he's here with us today, a little preview, talk about some stuff. The New York Times best-selling author, two books, The Rap Yearbook and Basketball and Other Things. Shea Serrano with us here on ESPN 97.5. Shea, welcome to the show. How are you?
What up, boys?
How you doing, man? We appreciate you being here.
Oh, no problem at all.
Let's talk. You had a chapter in the book, What Year Was Michael Jordan's The Best Version of Michael Jordan? And I read your New York Times article when you put together the perfect basketball player, but Michael Jordan wasn't anywhere in there.
Yeah, Michael Jordan sort of stands alone on his own. You can't just take one single thing of Mike's and be like, this was the greatest of all time of this single version of it. It seems like everything you wanted to pick, you could find somebody else who was just a little bit better at it. Maybe with the exception of like a killer instinct or, you know, something ethereal like that. But yeah, Mike just exists on his own sort of planet by himself in one piece. So I didn't want to mess with that.
Yeah, it's almost like Mike is...
he's a different dude.
He's so good at so many of these things. You don't, you know, it's you can't even do that. Shea, one of the things that I've always found, and this is a compliment, by the way. When I first read you for the first time, which was like, I think 12 or 13, you were doing different pieces for different places and locations. And it was like reading Bill Simmons again for the first time, because I felt like, oh, here's a guy that's talking, you know, saying a lot of the same stuff that my friends and I are saying. And sometimes it wasn't interwoven with sports. Sometimes it was more music. It was hip hop. But, and then Bill Simmons hired you to Grantland, and then you went over with him to the Ringer. Did you read Bill Simmons when you were coming up? You would have been younger. Did you read Bill Simmons at all? And have you ever heard anyone else say that, or do you like his style and the way that he delivers?
Yeah, of course I read Bill. I was working at a construction company when I first moved to Houston, and the builders at the construction site would read him all the time. So if I went into the construction trailer for whatever to talk to them, I would see like they would. I would always you could recognize it immediately because he was at ESPN page 2 at the time.
And it was yellow.
And it had this weird yellow background.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if I saw that on the screen, I knew they were reading them. So I would wait until they like ducked out of their office, because I didn't have a computer. So, and then I would go in the office and sort of try to read as much as I could before they would get back. So yeah, I read him a lot, and then that's why it meant so much to me when he sort of reached down and grabbed me and asked me to come work with him over there. Yeah.
Cool stuff. Shea Serrano with us here on ESPN 97.5. Grew up in San Antonio, huge Spurs fan, lives in Houston now. Spurs going to come here tomorrow night. They've been in a thorn in the Rockets' ass for every year except 94 and 95. I got a question for you.
All right.
Not the five best basketball players in Spurs history, but the five most important to the franchise, Spurs. Can you name them in order? Who've been the most important players in Spurs history?
Ooh, that's right. A good question.
If we're going, let's go number five. For number five, give me Avery Johnson, you could never say he was our best point guard. But as far as just like, he was a guy who showed up and sort of everybody in San Antonio fell in love with him because he wasn't the best, but he just never had any sort of back down in him. He just kept coming. So give me him. Give me Bruce Bowen. because we really like when players kick other players in the face.
And he's salty.
He's a big fan of that. For number three, let's go. I'm stuck here. I want to say David Robinson would probably be third because he was the guy who sort of the Spurs were terrible before he got there. For, you know, a decade or whatever, and he showed up, and all of a sudden they started talking about maybe we could win a championship. Number two, you've got to go George Gervin. If we're ranking importance now, he was the first guy in our franchise who was like a franchise player. And also he was the first and maybe the only guy we've ever had that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then number one, you've got to go Timmy.
Yeah, but Tony Parker's not in there. Ginobili's not on there. Vinny Del Negro's not on there.
If we're doing most important, you've got to pick people who represent something bigger than themselves, some sort of shift or change, right? Like I was mostly just joking with a Bruce Bowen pick or whatever. But yeah, if you do like just top five players, then all of those guys. I mean, you've got Tim, Tony, Manu, David, and Kawhi would be the top five.
You know, Bruce did give him some edge. I mean, Bruce is one of those edgy, you know, he's a lot like, you can trace guys back to other guys. The Bruce Bowen is the same thing as, what's his name for the Golden State Warriors right now?
Draymond.
I mean, it's the same kind of edge that the Spurs, it gave them an edge, I think, that took them to another level. Do you see Bill Belichick and Greg Popovich as the same guy like we do?
I don't really like Bill Belichick, so I'm going to say no. But I do get there's no way you cannot make that comparison, for sure.
I think Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and Greg Popovich are basically from the same family tree. Like, they have the same type of personalities. There's obviously differences, mm-hmm. but the way they handle their teams and their excellence is you can't argue it.
Yeah,
there's some things you just, no matter how much you hate on it, but you hate Bill Belichick, but you cannot argue that he's not a fantastic.
Pops is not as hateable as Belichick.
But they hate us because they ain't us. I want to. So what's happened with you, Shay? And I knew you from when you were writing, you know, pieces here and there, and then you just got your call from ESPN, and you were coming up. It's been so fun to watch what has happened because this is truly like a movie. I don't think people really understand. You were a school teacher just a couple of years ago. You've gone from that to people lined up out the door in New York, famous people tweeting at you. When I say lined up out the door in New York, that's at your book signing. Has it really sunk? I mean, can it truly really sink in for you how unbelievably meteoric this rise has been? Because for everything people want to say about social media, you've combined talent, hustle, and, you know, the viral ability of social media and the internet to have a path that no one used to be able to, you couldn't have this path this fast. It used to be impossible, and you've done it.
Well, here's the thing. I think people mention this all the time because I was teaching all the way up until 2015. It was my last year. June of 2015 is when I walked out the classroom. But like you mentioned before, I had been writing I've been freelancing almost all of that time. I freelanced for 7 years or something before then. Yeah. So if I hear somebody say, like, oh, you came up so fast, like, what I think about are the 4 years I spent at the Houston Press learning how to write, learning how to report a story, like learning actual things from actual editors. It wasn't fast to me. All of the recent stuff since the books have sort of taken off, that's been, I guess, a change. But as far as work, like, no, it's one of those 9-year overnight success type of situations.
Shay Serrano. We've got the feature on Culture Map coming out this morning here, and he's on ESPN 97.5. If you could say your one biggest break, Shay, what would it be?
My one biggest break was Margaret Downing and Chris Gray at the Houston Press for no reason at all bringing me on to work with them. Because those were, before then, I had written like a few pieces at little tiny, tiny places, little, like neighborhood newsletter type situations. But there was no editor in place. There was no learning there. It was just like, okay, you have your name on a thing. But at the press with Chris and Margaret, they were like, come with us, sit down here. Here's how you write a story. Here's what you're doing wrong. Here's how you become a writer. And they just for no reason. They just taught me all of that stuff. They were very patient with me. They answered every single question I had. For 4 years, I was asking them things and trying to figure out all of this stuff. And every time they were there answering it, never one time have they asked me for one single thing back. They were just like interested and for whatever reason helping me become a better writer. And I'm sure there's like 50 other writers who would say a similar thing about those two people. So for me, that was really where everything took off, because if I don't learn all of the stuff that they taught me, then I can't move to another place, or I can't write this other kind of story that makes somebody else pay attention. You know what I'm saying?
Shay, our kids were in a jump, you know, those
bouncy trampoline houses.
Yeah, the trampoline places. We went there with his kids. His kids are big part. My kids have been a big part of some of my content on radio, and your kids are a big part of some of your content through social media and whatnot. I want to know your thoughts on including family. Is your wife always comfortable with that? Comfortable with the pictures? Comfortable with everything that you exposing so much of what your family and what's going on? It feels natural for me, and my wife's gotten used to it. I wonder how your wife deals with it.
Yeah, it's a similar situation. We, the stuff that we put on there is usually just playful, whatever. Like, we're not putting serious family business on the internet. It's just jokes like, oh, this is what this goofy kid did today. Because whenever you're, you would tweet about or write about the stuff you're experiencing every day. For me, a big part of my life, I don't go out at night. I don't drink. I don't smoke or do anything. Like, my whole life is I'm just a dad and a husband. So, all of my perspectives are going to be, I guess, seen through those eyeballs. So it just makes sense to, write that way.
I'm pretty much the same way. John's,
I'm like, oh, wow, then I'm not writing. I'm not doing all that.
He's the exact opposite.
I'm not going out and drinking Coors Light.
Like the exact opposite. Go ahead.
I want to ask you this. If somebody's sitting there listening to this right now and they feel like they've got it in them to write, what kind of advice would you give them?
Oh, there's only one piece of advice that you need, and that is to just keep going. Because I think if you just even look at me, I'm a very good example of you don't need to be the most talented person, especially when you're starting out. I was awful for the first 3 years of writing, because I didn't know anything. But it didn't matter, because on the other side of that, I've never missed a deadline. I would never turn anything late. I would never not respond to an email. I was always like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no. Like, very much just, I figured out early on that if you were that way, an editor would rather work with you than somebody who was maybe way more talented, but they couldn't count on them because they've got so much other stuff going on. They just need a dependable person. They just need a Bruce Bowen who's going to show up to practice. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Every day. Every day. Good stuff. Shay Serrano, me on Culture Map this morning. So go to Culture Map and see that interview as well.
So what do you have coming up next, Shay? Because there's no way that you're not going to be involved with something, a TV show, a movie. I mean, clearly you're going to have something else in the works. Do you have something already kind of lined up?
I work at the Ringer, so that's where I write, every other day or whatever. And as far as stuff outside of that, the Wrap Your Book is being turned into a 6-episode documentary for ABC that we start filming that in January. So I've got that. We sold a sitcom to ABC, like a family sitcom. So we're working on that as well. Like, there's a lot of stuff
nice
going on, man.
That's great. Well, this is
a writer from Houston and his family.
And I want to mention this too. Shay did something that was really, really great. He was out of town in San Antonio when the hurricane hit, wrote a really good piece about being out of town and not being able to be there. Like, you just feel completely lost. And I talked to a lot of people who didn't live here, but used to, who felt the same way Shay did, but Shay actually lives here, just had been out of town. But you, through Twitter, and this is incredible. Through Twitter, tell John how much money you raised in like 48 hours through just your followers on Twitter donating to Houston for Hurricane
Harvey.
The FOH Army.
Yeah, we did $134,000 in 10 hours, which was very scary.
Let that sink in. $134,000 in 10 hours from Twitter followers, who Shay calls FOH Army. It's OH stands for out of here. Yep. F, you can figure it out.
Yeah, figure that out.
And then the Army. Shay, we want to invite you. I don't know if you want to come. You can bring the whole family. We got our big Christmas party coming December 22nd. Here's what it involves. Some of the guys will act as offensive linemen. Some will act as defensive linemen. They will smash into each other in a parking lot. We will have eggnog chugging where 4 to 5 people will be trying to race to win some earrings or something. They will all eventually throw up into the same giant trash can.
It's awesome.
It's 100% lock. We have tailgaters coming. We have Cobos Q barbecue coming we got Uberito is coming. There's going to be beverages there. Not that you drink, but they're going to be there.
Plenty.
I think we're having a 3-point shootout as well. This is all just taking place in a big giant parking lot.
Fountain View and Westheimer.
And we would like to make, you know what? I'd like to make the offer. It's up to you to be our honorary, I don't know, captain, whatever we call it, John, of this year's first. It's back to the bench with John and Lance. We're back together. Let him be the honorary, what do we call
it? If he can make it.
The king.
Yeah, he can be king of the Christmas party.
You can be the king of the Christmas party this year.
If you can get there, we'd love to have you. Fountain View and Westheimer, Klein's Jewelry.
December 22nd.
Yeah, December 22nd, early 7 to 11. And if you can get there, we'd love to have you.
I'm gonna be there, but only if I can participate in the 3-point contest.
Yes!
Absolutely.
You are in. You're throwing up the first three. And
I'm
tomorrow,
that trophy home.
Oh, by the way, so it's going to be a Fountain View in Westheimer. We got information to get a hold of you. We'll get you all the details.
Don't let the kids be an eggnog chugging.
No, it ends poorly
for everybody.
And oh, by the way, okay. I don't know if you want to watch the Spurs here tomorrow night because the Rockets extracting revenge from Game 6 last year.
It's on now.
It is on.
It's not Reek Harden anymore. It's not Reek from the Greyjoy. This is a different Harden with CP3. So it's a different shade. It's going to be a little different tomorrow.
It's going to be different tomorrow.
All right. That's what y'all said to me before the series last year.
That's what we said.
Yeah, well,
that's what we said for like 7 years.
Yeah, that's
in a
what
row.
We always said. Hey, man, great. CultureMap.com, CultureMap.com. See the article. And Shay Serrano with us here on ESPN 97.
Get his book in bookstores right now. Yeah. You can get his book at all these independent bookstores or big bookstores, too.
Basketball and other things
is one of the hot sellers, and you can get that for Christmas. Yep. So
great stuff.
We appreciate it. At Shay Serrano.
Shay, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
All right, boys.
All right, I appreciate it. Shay Serrano right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, take one here, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
How about working in the construction factory and sneaking in to read Bill Simmons?
It's awesome. I mean, what a great story.
Going from there to like, I can't even do it.
He was still teaching in 2015.
I can't really fully explain what kind of stratosphere he is. He went from teaching to movie script, to TV pitches and this and documentaries and best-selling books. Like, it's the new American dream. That's what Shay Serrano is living. This is an American dream for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. All right, so get it. Well, you can read it on CultureMap, culturemap.com. But
I'm still ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Jose Canseco has some thoughts on sexual misconduct.
Oh, he's a good one, Jose Canseco.
Why can't a man speak his mind? Man speaks his mind.
Go ahead.
This is what Jose Canseco thinks.
Read him up.
About sexual misconduct. What is going on with all these politicians molesting women? I've been molested by several women and never complained. Well, I mean, I've been beaten by women, taken advantage of by women, and molested by women. I never complained, but it was kind of a turn-on.
He said all this?
These women complaining against sexual misconduct are just racist against ugly men. I see the difference, I guess, because I was a good-looking guy, and these politicians look like a bag of boogers. What do you call a pretty woman with an inbred-looking politician? Paid. Okay. And I think there was a backlash for some reason. Oh, my God. He had to update it. Oh, my God, my latest tweets were supposed to be funny and entertaining, not to be taken serious. They have been completely blown out of proportion. I'm getting even calls from Japan. Because of that, I have deleted them. I apologize if someone took it way too serious. I don't know. A man has his opinion. Why can't he have an opinion? If it's not what the liberals agree with, then we're going to shame him.
You think that's what this is?
Yeah. I think we're going
to
shame him.
You think that's what this is? Jose, hey, I wasn't meant to be taken seriously. Oh, you don't have to worry about that. We don't take you seriously, Jose.
Well,
ever since the ball blasted off your head and went over the fence for a home run,
that's why he wrote these.
We don't take you super seriously.
I just don't understand people. Why do you write anything down?
Back in the
day. Don't write anything down because then people will see it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't write it. You know?
Jose, just delete your account. You don't need to. Just run that. Just spitball that with your friends. Just like, what do y'all think about this? Just workshop that one before you tweet it.
I don't know.
What do you guys think about this?
I think that's funny, Jose. You should tweet it.
Yeah, well, do it. Do
why
it.
Why do you think his friends would have any discretion?
Yes.
They're his friends for a reason.
Yeah, that's,
no.
That's actually a fair point, though.
No. I mean, come on. They're all, well, let me, wait. Yeah, do it. Do it.
You know why Reginald Seymour's my favorite guy right now? Because he says, so good to hear John and Lance on the radio in the morning. I remember listening to you guys back in the day. Even got my wife's ring from Klein's.
What?
That's what you got to do.
Yes. This is okay. Going back in the day.
Is this the instrumental?
He has the chorus, too.
Everyone can hear y'all laugh in the background while interviewing Shay. Yeah. Shay's a funny guy.
Del, you read Shay, don't you?
We actually had him in studio. Raheel brought him in.
When was that?
Probably a day that John wasn't here. It was the day John wasn't here because he's lazy.
How long ago?
Probably 3 to 4 months ago.
Oh, okay. Nah, that's a good get.
Yeah.
Who'd you have in studio?
The guy you just talked to.
Maybe should have, you know.
Shay was in studio?
Should have promoted it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
We did promote it, but it was 4 months ago. The internet doesn't care about this stuff 2 days after.
That's actually true.
It doesn't.
Internet stops caring.
No. The internet has a like
internet
a fuck,
always cares it, like, about the internet cares about everything, but for a finite amount of time.
Yeah, it's got an attention span of about 20 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
And then the internet net's done because something else. You know what the most viral thing was?
What?
Was it yesterday or the day before? Or the last, I guess over the last maybe the last week or so. That Manville High School cheerleader stepping on an imaginary box
and stepping
over it. You haven't seen that? No. Del, did you see it?
I've seen it.
Yeah. It was the most viral thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Things come and go so fast. Let me see. Manville cheerleader.
Maybe we could get her out and we can have the greatest. We can give away a watch to see who's the greatest invisible box stepper.
Defying gravity. Oh, that was December 4th it happened.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I'm gonna look at it.
Watch
here.
It and but see. And it's
we need to get a viral section.
It's not
on
really
that.
Unbelievable. It's just kind of, I don't know.
We talked about it on the Raheel and Del show, and we tried to get some of our producers and interns to do it. No one could do it.
No one could do it?
No. It's actually apparently what more difficult hell? Than it looks like.
That is pretty.
Yeah.
I don't see. Yeah, you could do it. I see how she did
okay,
it.
Okay, do it.
I'm going to do it after the show's over.
No, well, when Ken Hoffman comes in to see you, you guys, maybe you could do it together.
That's a pretty good little move that she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manville, look up Manville High School cheerleader invisible box.
That's pretty damn good.
It is pretty. I don't imagine. So none of the interns could do it?
No, we had Tyler, our producer.
Did you try?
I'm doing a show. I'm a host. I don't do that nonsense anymore.
I'm going to try.
John's getting up right now. Let's see. Now, you got to remember that core leg. That was lit right there, Dale.
No, that's not.
Yes, it was.
No, you're supposed to, as if you're levitating, like there's a box. He just
that's
skipped.
What it looked like. He looked like it was he was
man,
levitating through the air.
Got nothing
he just
on me.
Skipped.
Did you see how incredible I looked?
It wasn't incredible.
I was like, I swear to
unbelievable.
God,
unbelievable.
I'm sorry. Am I looking at David Blaine or John Granato? I don't even know anymore.
I wouldn't want to be put on.
Are
David
you looking?
Blaine.
At a, am I a Manville cheerleader
stuff.
Or not?
Hey, it's me, David Blaine.
When it doesn't surprise you. He was named in a sexual harassment thing.
Not so much. Hey, I got a question for you. You want to see if I can get frozen in a block of ice? You think I can
isn't
do it?
Isn't he creepy, too?
He's creepy AF.
Well, what does it? Isn't he, did he get accused of anything?
He's been accused of everything, probably.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what I can do? I can stick this metal thing through my skin. Watch.
Yeah, but he's a magician. How would they know?
He's not an illusionist.
Couldn't he fool him?
He is an illusionist.
Well, apparently not. He's not good.
He's not very good because they found out.
Because that woman knew who he was and accused him of rape.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. I know this much. Is it being an illusionist being frozen in ice, or is that just trying to withstand something so you don't die? Like, that's not magic. That's not illusion. If you try to hold your breath for 5 straight minutes, that's just trying to do crazy stuff.
Well, that's just, right? I can hold my breath longer than you. That's all it is.
I can do crazier stuff and not die than you can. Right. Illusion.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 848, 713-780, 3776. We will actually take calls now. We don't have any more interviews till bottom of the hour, 9:30. But Lance, you'll beat it. We're going to have Warren Sharp on with us. Warren is excellent, excellent, excellent.
Does he talk like this? Guys, my name was Warren Sharp.
No, he talks more like...
Like a regular guy?
No, he talks more like... The Oilers are going to win because they got a guy. Well, he looks like Tarzan, but he plays like Jane.
So he's got that voice.
No, he's got... He's a numbers guy. He's a numbers guy. He ain't a... Not a numbers like mafia numbers guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a numbers guy. He's really good though. He's got a lot of good stuff out there. The group of five is actually talking. I don't know if it'll ever come to pass. They said it was just some discussions. Nothing came of it. But having their own playoff, as opposed to. Because they're as long as it's a 14 playoff, the group of five ain't getting it. Now, the University of Houston had a chance if it went undefeated after it beat Florida State in the bowl game, then beat Oklahoma to start the next year. If U of H had gone undefeated that whole year, you would have had a real argument for U of H getting into the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But the group of five as opposed to, like, you know, Georgia's in this year. You know, you didn't have to take into account what they did last year.
Right.
Matter of fact, you know, they didn't. Because Georgia's in, because they're a Power 5 school. You have to validate. I mean, how long did it take Boise State to get to the Fiesta Bowl?
It took a while. You got to be there for 3 years before people really take you seriously. Like, people take Boise seriously now, even when they're not great. They made it.
Okay, Central Florida's undefeated and not a sniff. Of course, they were, you know, just a couple of years ago, which is unbelievable what Scott Frost did. They were winless.
They're not validated.
They're not validated, although, well, they're a pretty damn good football team. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mackenzie Milton is, he's little. He's
Remember
a little
we
fella.
We saw this, though, when we used to argue about it with Rutgers, when it was Ray Rice and Brian Leonard and USF.
Yeah, but it turns out that they were pretty good.
No, I felt they were. I thought they weren't getting enough play back then. Yeah. I remember thinking that this is bullcrap, that this is a good football team, and people just crapped on USF and Rutgers. That was that crazy year where the number two team lost every week. Whoever got to number two, they would lose. But I'm just a believer in, I do think that you don't have to be a powerhouse to be a really good team. It can happen with the right collection of players, because so many guys go pro now, you're losing good players all the time who are juniors. Mm. And sometimes guys who are just okay players. So I do think with a good 3-year starter at quarterback, a lot of times who's a senior, you know, you have a chance to be pretty good. You're not going to be as good athletically as the big name teams usually. But yeah, and sometimes those guys like Boise, they end up, you know, Boise's cranked out they've cranked out some pros too. They were always well coached under Chris Peterson, who's, you know, now in Washington. But I'm a big believer that you don't have to. Now, it's hard to sustain. when you're one of those programs, it can be really, really hard to sustain. And one of the reasons is because if you're at a program like that, now it's for sure stepping stone territory where somebody's going to come try to snag your coach 100%. And you just have to have guys like, you know, who just say, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Peterson didn't leave forever from Boise.
Hell, you don't even have to be all that great. Chad Morris, they were good. They were 7-5. Mm-hmm. They weren't great. No. I mean, Tom Herman had to have them be great to get that big job. Chad Morris got a big job just by being 7-5. Scott Frost, as soon as he won, I'm out.
Everything's a step. I mean, you can't be a good young coach. The odds of you keeping PJ Fleck, Scott Frost, I mean, if you keep them 3 years, it's almost a miracle.
Yeah.
Now, Oregon couldn't even keep Willie Taggart a year. They got stepping stoned, although, to be fair, he wanted to go back home to Florida. But anybody can be a stepping stone now. Almost anybody. Programs that never thought they would be are getting stepping stoned now. That's just how it goes. More money. Jimbo Fisher left Florida State to go take on the job at A&M. You would have never seen that in years past. There would have been no chance that you would have thought, oh, this is Florida State. Why would you go over to A&M?
Right.
It depends now. The money is great. It's all about facilities, recruiting base. And we found out Jimbo also didn't get along with the people there at FSU. You know, the people.
That's a huge thing.
That's a huge thing that no one ever talks about.
One of the reasons somebody's not there is because a new AD came in. They didn't really see guy. Eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Wasn't his. And somebody wasn't his guy. I don't know if y'all understand what a volatile and sometimes horrific time this is in the coaching profession. While we see Jimbo getting $75 million, quarterback coach that I was talking to yesterday that, you know, he lost his job, the coach is gone, and he's like, I don't know, man, I'm putting it out there. But, you know, most places the offensive coordinator is the quarterback coach. So you're not bringing in a lot. It's for the most part, that's the case. So where is there a job for a quarterback coach?
Sounds like he better start coaching another position.
Well, or he better go. He's got to drop down and somewhere where he can go and call plays because he's got.
That's okay because you can get back up quickly if you get to be a hot name.
Well, and that's another thing. I know Charlie Strong went to South Florida. Big move down, right?
Yeah. From Texas to South Florida. Sure looks like that. Yeah.
So, do you think Charlie ever bounces back and comes back up?
I think he could if he wins.
Well, he won and didn't win at all with players that he was supposed to be the number one group of five team going into the season. He had Quentin Flowers. He had that number eight that looks like a tight end that's a wide receiver.
DeAndre Sinat, defensive tackle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got players over there.
He's got some
players. And they were a good team, really good team.
But here's the thing. He was good at Louisville, too.
Yeah, he was really good at Louisville.
So he's got a reputation.
And he was a great defensive coordinator as well.
Yeah, he can absolutely get another good job. Yeah, I think so.
You think he can move back up?
Sure, I think
so. If Summey had taken Central Florida, which he could have taken, would he have been able to bounce back up?
Yeah, I think so. Once you've established some magic or even if it's perceived magic or whatever, I think you got a name, you've recruited, absolutely.
Aren't you looked at, though, with a wary eye? Are you ever going to get back into that big neighborhood again, maybe not in the Ohio State and Alabama and Florida and all those, that neighborhood, but I don't know. I think coaches or ADs would look at it and go, he's in that level now.
I don't know. I mean, Kevin Sumlin, he wasn't a slappy in the SEC. He's got respectable seasons under his belt. I don't think they would consider him that guy. Like, Charlie Strong didn't win at all at University of Texas.
But he won at Louisville.
He won at Louisville. He didn't win at Texas. Sumlin won at A&M, not at the level they wanted him to, and certainly not in the last month of the season or against the biggest teams. But he's got a lot more in his resume than Charlie Strong did at their latest job. So if he would have won at Central Florida, I think he would have been there 2 years and could have jumped. I believe that. You know, Lane Kiffin was kind of Lane Kiffin's had his ups and downs.
He was not a good downs look.
Yeah, and look where he'll be.
Yeah, he'll be a
bounce back guy.
I don't know if I can trust him if I'm a big time program.
Oh no!
What did he do at Tennessee? What did he do at USC?
Yeah,
I mean, what did he do with the Raiders?
No, but this guy keeps getting jobs.
Well,
you know he got fired at Jacksonville when he was a GA too. Yeah. Not a GA, a quality control guy. He got fired there. Like, he keeps getting job after job. Well, now, I thought he was a great play caller at Alabama.
Did you see his wife? I mean, he's a great recruiter. Great recruiter. He's a great interview.
He's still with her. It's Jimbo that's not with him.
No. Layla.
Not
very different. He and Layla are broken up.
Lane is?
Yeah. What was her name? Layla? Layla Kiffin? I think they had issues after when he, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Lane likes to
do stuff.
He enjoys himself. You know who else enjoys himself? Jeff Aronoff. Hey.
You guys are talking about Lane Kiffin. He make it everything rock.
Yeah, he makes it rock hard.
We still get the song? Is the song?
I don't know
where
the song is. We don't have it? We don't have the song. I do know this. Jeff Aronoff still has all that rock. He has all that marble. He has all that granite. He's got all of those. He's got all those vanities. He's got all those countertops. He's got outdoor kitchens. He's got fireplaces. He's got patios. He's got everything that you can. If it's hard, Jeff Aronoff has it. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Look, if you're looking for a great way at 20% off to redo that outdoor patio, to redo that vanity, that countertop. After the flood, you probably have an issue getting a new countertop because there just aren't materials. Jeff Aronoff can get them. You know why? Because he does this every day. He does it here. Don't trust somebody that's not here. Trust somebody that's here and been here and done that. It's Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite. And after all the talk, all I got to say is, welcome to the Granite. You're welcome. You're all welcome. Like we always do with this town. Preach on, brother.
ESPN 97.5.